We are live. Amen and amen. I always get tickled by the phrase live. You know, place advertise live band performing tonight. I like to see them advertise dead band performing tonight. A little bit closer? Okay. So I was just kind of in my little brain. I had these weird thoughts that fly through there as I hear things like that, comments that are said, and different things accordingly. So, amen and amen. Book of James. Good morning, everybody. Blessings. We are starting from the book of James today. Today we're going to talk about an area of warfare that is really your most important area of warfare. And it has to do with your worship. It has to do with our worship. Really, worship is the key form of warfare we can engage ourselves in. Yes, prayer is the foundation. Yes, prayer is instrumental in the aspect of releasing and declaring. But there's also the aspect of what worship brings. Because worship also ushers in the presence. Worship also releases the grace and the anointing in what God's wanted to do in our midst. And Scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. And yet, for most believers, most believers struggle in the time of warfare. The last thing they want to do is worship, not realizing that their worship in the midst of the struggle is the invitation to God to join in the situation. God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. So when you're going through a battle, you're going through a war, that's the time you need to more than ever to start worshiping, because he's going to join you in the midst of that battle, in the midst of that war, because of you ushering and welcoming him by your worship and by your praise. So really, it becomes our greatest tool, our greatest weapon of warfare, is to be a worshiper in the midst of darkness, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of hard times. Worship is the key to victory. Yes, there is the alignment with the revelation of the word for instruction, how to battle, how to warfare. But the worship is the doorway to all of it. So, amen. The apostles understood this because they learned it firsthand from Jesus. They walked and lived with Jesus 24/7 for 3 years plus. And they saw firsthand how Jesus himself was a worshiper. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a rabbi representing God who went around doing miracles. He was also a worshiper. It was in his times of solitude, in his times in the evening hours, in the late hours and early hours of the day when he would get away from the crowds and the multitude. That's when they saw another side of him that most people didn't see. Most people wanted the Jesus that brought the miracles. Most people wanted the Jesus that brought the truth and revelation to give them understanding of their plight, of their situations. But the disciples, who became the apostles, they saw firsthand how deep and how intense of a worshiper he was. And they didn't quite get it at the start. It didn't click in their little brains. It wasn't until they were empowered by the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 that the spiritual light bulb began to go off, and they began to realize how important worship was to Jesus, and how they themselves at that point began to engage of themselves by the Spirit of Christ in them to become the same type of worshiper Jesus was. And for me, for myself, that tells me that if the apostles were able to tap into that source and to enter into that realm of freedom to be a worshiper in the midst of tough times, then I can do the same thing, because that door is open to me because of Jesus who lives in me. You see, the only reason I'm not a worshiper is because I limit myself. That's it. And there's a lot of people that go to church that limit themselves in their worship. Well, I don't sing that well. Well, I just didn't like that song. Jesus was not dependent on the song. Think about this. Jesus didn't have a worship band that traveled with him. He didn't. but he knew how to draw from that place of intimate worship to connect with God and to usher in God's presence, and they would meet in the quiet hours of the night. And that opportunity is available to us. The Apostle James in James chapter 1 addresses the importance of worship, but he addresses it from kind of an odd angle. So when we read it, we think like, this is not right. You know, this is just weird. Why would he say such a thing? What did James say? Well, let's read it. Verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he writes, verse 2, everybody say verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What? Who does he think he is? Well, he doesn't know what I'm going through. But that's usually the kind of excuses we give. But his declaration was simple. It was a command, really. But it was a command he was living and understood himself. He was living it out. He was a doer of what he was instructing his disciples to do. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because joy is the doorway to victory. And yet, with most within most houses of God, it's more of an entertainment than it is an avenue of warfare. It must be an avenue of warfare. It must be of genuine heart. Jesus said a day would come when people would worship God in spirit and in truth without the worship ban. Without the worship ban. It's the individual contact that Father God is after with his children. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Golly gee whiz, see this guy, he just doesn't know what I'm going through. Now he's telling me to be patient about it. No, we're not going to invite this guy back to preach. He just doesn't get it. I want that feel-good message. But the proven order of faith is God's way of developing character in us. You know, I you've heard me say this in times past, but in my junior high and high school days, I was involved in athletics quite a bit. I was doing athletic work 24/7, almost year-round. And yet what I found interesting as I got engaged spiritually in my life as a believer was that some of the very same determination we would do for our coaches, we won't do for God. We won't do it for God. But we'll do it for our coaches. The sacrifice, the going through the pain, going through the struggles and running until you can't run anymore, and you run so much you really find yourself throwing up. But we won't do that for God. We've got to realize this life of faith requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. That's why Jesus said about being a servant, he said sometimes as believers we must be willing to go the second mile. Didn't he say that? He did say that. So sometimes the first mile is not enough. Sometimes we've got to go the second mile in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So there is a sacrifice in this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So who determines the joy? We do. It's not based on what is happening outside of the realm of our soul. It's what's happening within us. We determine the altitude in which we fly. We cannot base our response on the circumstances around us. If we're doing it that way, it's not faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord is what King David said. He didn't say, Lord, bless me, and I will praise you. He didn't say it that way. He was telling himself, in spite of the circumstances around him, I'm going to bless the Lord. He was telling his flesh, flesh, you line up with my desire and worship God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Right now, as we engage in this warfare with the different things, there's just too many believers walking in fear because they're not warfare in the realm of worship. If they ever engage in the realm of worship, fear would, let me say it this way, when we are in that place of worship where Father God shows up and he inhabits our praises, there's no room for fear because perfect love drives out all fear. Right? So he is perfect love, right? So when he shows up, guess what happens? Fear's got to go. So if you're walking in fear, that means you need more of his presence. That simple. If you're allowing fear to determine what you're doing, you need to draw on his presence. Because with his presence also comes wisdom. And he will give us wisdom on how we're to address the situation we are wrestling with, we are battling with. But we can't do it from fear. That only opens the door to confusion and chaos. And you're seeing a whole lot of that out there in our streets across this nation right now. A lot of confusion, a lot of chaos, because men are trying to control men. Men are trying to rule men by the instruction and the wisdom of men. Won't happen. Won't happen. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Woo! Phyllis just talked about that a while ago as we were concluding our worship time. So James learned something from my wife. Amazing. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means we have the ability to weather the storm no matter what kind of storm it is. Go ahead, throw anything you want me at, devil. Give me your best shot. Doesn't matter. Because I lack nothing, because I am been made mature. Because of that, I have what I need. And if anything lacks, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Notice he said liberally. In other words, God's not greedy about his wisdom. He's not greedy with his wisdom. Brenda says, the Lord, I need some wisdom. And God looks at Brenda and says, well, hold on, sister. We got some issues we got to take care of here. Maybe I'll give you some wisdom after that. No. If she's got wisdom, I mean, if she's needing wisdom to wrestle with the storm, he's going to provide what she needs. Yes. One condition, though. Here's the condition. Without reproach, and let it be given to him, but let him ask in faith without doubting. So we've got to ask in faith without wavering in our thoughts. Will he answer? Will he come through? Because you see, once again, that's just a revealing that fear's got a hold on us. So if we're wrestling with our emotions, then once again, get back to the place of worship and draw from his presence. Drive out fear. Draw from his presence, drive out fear. And believe me, scripture says that his wisdom comes with peace. So in other words, when his wisdom comes, when we receive the counsel of God, it's going to touch our heart in such a profound way, we're going to have peace in the middle of the storm. Amen. Turn now to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Amen and amen. This is the Apostle Paul writing a little bit about drawn from the presence of God. I think he knew how to draw from the presence of God pretty well too. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Everybody say verse 4. All righty. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay here. So we hear joy over here when trials are coming. And he's saying rejoice always. That means no matter what, we keep praising. No matter what, we continue with an attitude of worship. No matter what the storms, no matter what the enemy does, no matter what your neighbor does, no matter what your spouse does. We maintain an attitude of worship. And by the way, in that little realm of their spouse and spouse, you also must include forgiveness. Must include forgiveness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Another way of saying that, there's a let your conduct, let your character demonstrate the goodness of God. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That one right there, that's a whole another sermon we could just spend an hour on right there, because there's a lot of anxious believers right now. Wondering about this, wondering about that. Oh, what's going to happen next? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's going to happen next. As long as we're abiding with the Lord, no matter the storms, we're going to get to the other side. I think too often we keep our eyes on the storm too long. It's one thing to take a glance, to be aware and know how to pray from discernment, but it's another thing when you keep your eyes on the storm, keep your eyes on the troubles, so much so that your eyes now are taking off Jesus. And the storm becomes bigger than your Savior. So be anxious for nothing. And I'll be honest with you, there's times when I'm sitting down in my little prayer time, I've got to sit down and I've got to force myself to relax. Because in my little brain, I've got some things going and some issues going. And I'm saying, hold on, set them aside, put them down, relax. So one of the ways I do it for myself, as I always quote the little verse to myself, says, be still and know the Lord. That's what I just speak that in my mind, my spirit. Be still, Ollie. Be sensitive to the Lord's presence. Don't let the issues around you torment you. So I say to myself, be still, Ollie. Rest, rest, rest in his presence. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's another form of worship. Thanksgiving is another form of worship.
That's right.
Let your requests be made known to God. And from that place of worship we just talked about there, thanksgiving, watch verse 7. Everybody, verse 7. It's in the Bible. This is real. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. That's in the Bible. That's for us to believe. That's for us to apprehend. That's for us to take control and let it take control of us from that place of thanksgiving, a place of worship. So our hearts and minds will be guarded in Christ Jesus. We'll be able to weather the storms. We'll be able to walk through the storm to the other side. Daniel faced a lion in the lion's den. Jesus showed up and just got that little mouth of that little lion and just closed it. Some think he closed. I just think there's such a presence of the Lord in there that the lion was himself at full peace. That's what I think. That the lion himself in the presence of the Savior, what could the lion do? This is his creator. This is his maker who has shown up. I see that lion's eye. Man, this feels good. And the lion just relaxed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into a hot furnace. Again, another man showed up in the midst of their storm. And what a storm. What a fire of tribulation. What a fire. And yet, they came through. And it says that not even a smoke, the odor of smoke was on them. That to me is amazing. They chose to be worshipers. If you remember the declaration they made to the king before he threw them in there, they made a declaration to God as worshipers. And we have to grab hold of that. We have to grab hold of that in our churches, in this nation. There's too much fear within the house of God. Because we've not been people of prayer, and we've not been people of worship. And we must resurrect these great gifts that God has given us. We must re-engage ourselves as true worshipers of the one and only true God. Turn now to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Phyllis and I were in Corpus Christi this past week for a few days, of a little bit to visit Sam and Bree, a little bit to seek God, and just get a little bit of understanding, some clarity concerning the fall and sort of marching orders of what we're to teach and mentor and disciple in into the fall months, September, October, November. And so the Lord did give us some clarity. I'll begin to share and teach on that a bit more next week, and then we'll have an outline that we'll mail out to everybody and post it in our Facebook page of what we're going to be doing and where we're going teaching-wise, ministry-wise in the coming months. But today I just wanted to really stir about the issue of being worshipers. Because you see, As we walk in this grace of worshiping, Jesus in us, himself being the worshiper, we should carry a sense of peace about us. We really should. There should be a sense of peace that we carry about us because of who lives in us. You know, the Apostle John penned this: greater is he who lives in us than he who lives in the world. And we seem to only quote that when we're facing the storm, and it's really meant to be a declaration of daily living. When you read about that verse in the context of what he's writing about there, he's bringing in the presentation of daily living, not just when the storms come. Because you see, if we engage these words, a part of our daily living, when the storms come, doesn't matter. We've already been prepared. Because he knows how to get us ready for the things that are unseen and unknown, because he already knows of them before they ever happen. So he will get us ready for it. You've heard my testimony about what happened with me a number of years ago when I had my issue with cancer. And God had been preparing me for the battle with cancer. But I was not discerning very well. And I was just thinking, this is information to prepare and teach the congregation, and then as the issue became fully aware of what we were looking at, it was like one day God said, I've been trying to get you ready for this, Ollie. Okay, let me get my notes. And I went and got my notes. I've been taking notes, writing these stuff down as I pull it all out. Okay, all right, yeah, all right. Thank you, Jesus. See, he will prepare us for what's coming, but we have to be discerning. I was not very discerning in that day. So I made a decision within myself, I'm not going to be as undiscerning anymore. I want to be discerning. So when the battle comes, I am prepared. And one of the ways is the place of worship. It's in the place of worship. Our hearts are he permeates our hearts with his presence in such a way that he graces us with the ability to be, to increase our spiritual ears to hear what he's doing and saying by the Spirit of the Lord. And so that's why you've heard me say over the last few months, one of the greatest things we need to develop within the body of Christ is the ability to discern. And worship is one of the keys, one of the tools that God will use with us. Psalm 100. Make a shoutful joy to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Joyful shout. You know, we quote that in verse, and yet I would say probably for about 70% of believers, they will be more shoutful, more exuberant with their shout for their favorite sporting team that they would do for the Lord than they would do for the Lord in a church service. Oh, you know, that's just too emotional. And yet we're getting emotionally crazy out in the sports field. Why? Because literally because we are engaged out there more than we are engaged in the house of God. Literally, that's the honest truth. We are more engaged with what's out there than we are within the presence of God in his house. You see, that excitement from that sports team may only last for a moment. But what we can draw from him and his and the excitement of his presence will last us a lifetime. Because whatever the Lord does, it always carries a source of eternity with it. Because he is eternity. Right. Your favorite football team will only last for a season. God is eternal. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. I'm going to ask you about your prayer life. How often in your prayer life do you go before the Lord in your prayer time singing? How often do you honestly go before the Lord in your prayer time with a song of joy, a song of thanksgiving, a song of just honoring him? For most believers, it's not done. We bring our shopping list. It's what we tend to do. We bring our shopping list before the Lord. These are my needs. Thank you, Lord, for meeting them. We need to really grow in this aspect in how we enter into his presence, not from our needs, but from our gratitude, from our thankfulness that he allowed us to live another day, that he gave us breath for another day, that he at times intervenes, as Phyllis talked about during our praise time, how sometimes he'll do things for us and we are unaware of it, how he has moved on our behalf and we weren't aware of it. And we said, oh man, that just, you know, got lucky today. No, it wasn't luck. God moved on your behalf and you weren't even aware of it. You see, one of the aspects of Jesus living and alive in us, according to what Paul writes in Ephesians and again writes in Colossians, is that from this attitude of a worshiper, he says also we're to make melody in our heart to the Lord. He writes that in Ephesians and he writes that again in Colossians. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. And it's by the Spirit of the Lord we are graced with the ability to do that. Make melody in your heart. Sing a song to the Lord. And quit giving in to the reasons why you can't. Just stop it. Because what you're saying, by the declaration you're saying that Jesus in you is not big enough. That's what we're saying. Well, I just can't do that. Well, what about Jesus in you? Oh, yeah, he's big. Well, then surely you can sing. Well, I can't do that. Well, how big is Jesus then? Well, he's big. Well, then why can't you sing? Well, you know, that's just me. That's right. You're in the way. Get out of the way. so that he can come out and flow through you. I'm just giving you honest truth here. We were born, and we were born again to be worshipers. There should be something in us by the Spirit of Christ that we carry an attitude where maybe say it this way. With Phyllis and I were at Corpus this past week and you know, getting away and doing different things. And an attitude of gratitude of just what we were seeing and what we were doing. Praising the Lord. Change the scenery. You need neat little things. I got to play with a little fish one night. It was fun. I always find animals to visit when I'm going places. And this night it was a little fish. What kind of fish was that again? Needle nose. Atlantic needle nose. It looks like a miniature shark. It's with a long thing there. So I got to make friends with the little fish there. And just different things like that. And just enjoying the moment. And enjoying the moment. And so I found myself, one little point, just singing a little song. A little song because, Lord, this is a good place to be here today. And I just sing a little song to the Lord. You see, it's not how beautiful the song is. It's the beauty of your heart releasing it. I'm going to say that one again. It's not how well the song sounds. It's the beauty of your heart in which that song comes from. That to God it is a sweet aroma to Him. It's called romance. It's called romance. I got to stir romance with my Father God. Just say, I got to stir romance with my wife. You need romance in your life. You do. We need romance. We were created to be instruments of love. But that instrument of love comes in the completion of Jesus. And so learn to sing a song of love as you feel you're being blessed through the day. And it can be small, something small. Somebody, why don't you go ahead and go in front of me? You got a few shopping items than I do. You go ahead and cut in front. You go first. Thank you, Lord, for the favor. Simple things. We got to cultivate the attitude of a worshiper in what we do. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's an attitude we must develop and carry. Know that the Lord, verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And that sounds like a verse that's a little out of place, but it's really a very important verse. Because what he is declaring by that verse is that it takes God in us to honor God. I'm going to say it this way. It is impossible for man to self-govern righteously without his assistance. It is impossible for man to self-govern righteously without God's assistance. And yet that's what we see too often people trying to do nowadays. If I couldn't make myself, how in the world can I actually think I can rule my life? Another way of saying it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Verse 4. And these are not based on answered prayers. This attitude, this response that we enter into the presence of the Lord with is not based on answered prayers. It's based simply on who He is as our Creator, as our Maker. So there's days I must determine to worship God even when things are going bad all around me. Gee, we just read about that in the book of James, didn't we? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Joy. Do you know what I'm going through? Joy. friend of ours posted a thing on Facebook. It showed Jesus all tattered and torn, blood on his face, hands, his garment tattered, riddled with blood. And it showed a guy complaining to Jesus about his problems. You know, really, that's when you think about it in those terms, really, we sometimes are a little, we're kind of foolish in how we look at things. Yes, he can relate to everything we go through. Yes, he can relate to everything we struggle with. Yes, he can relate to everything that the enemy will throw against us, because everything that the enemy had, he threw at Jesus. He even threw the kitchen, the old phrase, they even threw the kitchen sink at him. Everything the devil could do, he did to Jesus. So no matter what the devil does to us, Jesus knows how to relate to it. So we enter in spite of circumstances with praise and thanksgiving. We're thankful to him and bless his name. Isn't that what Job did? In the midst of Job's circumstances, yet he still maintained an attitude to bless the Lord. For his mercy is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. See, today, where we stand in light of circumstances around our nation today and what's happening across the world, it does not diminish the truth of this word. But what our faith can do, it'll make the truth of this word come alive for us. So when the storms come, his word speaks into our hearts, hope, deliverance, salvation, wisdom. We're convinced, so convinced as Jesus was, that as he slept in that boat, he was going to the other side in spite of the storm. So I just encourage you guys as worshipers, grow in your worship. Grow in your place of intimacy with the Father. Invite his presence in such a profound way that it just begins to just push out any fear, any insecurity you're wrestling with, and you become so secure in his presence that said, go ahead, whatever, give me your best shot, enemy. Go ahead and give me your best shot, Satan. I'm ready. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That includes being a worshiper. Amen. Amen. So I just thank you, Lord, that you continue just to work in us in a most profound way. How to be a worshiper who is free indeed, to engage from our heart to yours in a supernatural connection that, Lord, just does awesome things for us inwardly, drives out fear, drives out insecurity, brings forth hope, brings forth identity as sons and daughters, that we can speak with authority, we pray with authority, and we worship with authority. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.